appropriateness is what we're going to talk about. So Philippians 1:27, you can write down verses or whatever you want. I don't know if you'll be able to turn to them because I do have a lot of verses that I'm going to use tonight. Philippians 1:27 says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So in the book, if you read, those of you that read the book, it talks about that the discipline of appropriateness is simply behaving in ways appropriate for Christians. So it's pretty simple. Actions maybe that don't bring shame to the gospel of Christ. Appropriateness elevates our words, our appearance, and our attitudes, but it doesn't begin with all of these outward things. It really begins in our heart. So many of the things outwardly start in our heart, don't they? So we're going to talk a lot about the heart today and not just outward, because everything, well, this is a matter of the heart. It's not a matter of outward appearances. So to start with, we're going to say, talk about the heart of the matter. The author says that your heart is the core of your being. It's the essence of who you are. It's where your mind and your emotions and convictions all come together, and they shape what you believe and the choices that you make. So that's our heart. And he's saying that our behavior is determined by what is in our heart. Isn't that true? You know, I know kind of things that we believe in our heart, usually we act on those things, don't we? So it starts in our heart. And the Bible tells us this same thing in Proverbs 27:19. And it says, as in water, face answereth to face, so the heart of man to man. We do have to be careful, though, because even though our behavior is determined by our hearts, and maybe that sounds good, in Jeremiah 17:9, it says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So our hearts are flawed, aren't they? We're not perfect, and our hearts aren't always, they're not naturally good. So our hearts are flawed. And only God's word can change us and can change our hearts. Once we become Christians and we accept Christ into our hearts, then God begins a new work in us, doesn't he? And in that, he can change our hearts, and he can grow us and maybe change our view on things. But once we become Christians, God begins that work in us. Now, you know, how much we let him work, that's kind of up to us. You know, I can listen to God or I cannot listen to him. And this appropriateness, this propriety, it's individual, it's your own, and it's a work that God does in you as an individual, or you as a family. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So sometimes God's work in our hearts might stretch us. And maybe sometimes stretching, doesn't that hurt? It doesn't always feel good when we're growing, does it? Have you ever had growing pains? I haven't had very many because I'm not very tall. But I know my nephew, he is, let's see, I think he's 15, 10th grade. And he just keeps growing and growing and growing. And he's growing so fast that he just took a step and his tendon just snapped because he had hurt his other leg, so he hadn't been using his muscles a ton. And so he was just walking around and his other leg snapped because he's just growing so fast, his muscles and joints all can't keep up. But I've never had that problem. But sometimes it's painful when God works in our hearts and he stretches us. And I know we've all probably experienced that. But God can change us in ways that we can't do ourselves. Maybe we could try to be good, or we can try to look the part of a Christian, or what we've been told a Christian is, and we try to maybe look that part. But if it's not in our hearts, then, you know, we're doing things just to do them, and it doesn't really matter. We have to be willing to allow God to do that work in us. So we have to have a willing heart to begin with, right? So first, we're going to talk about the propriety of our appearance. Don't panic, it's not all as scary as it sounds. But from the time that we're little, clothes become kind of a topic of discussion, really. I mean, you know, we you know, buy things for our newborn babies, and we pick out just the right outfits and the right colors and the cutest things and the hair bows and the shoes and all the cute things. And the boys have the vests and the hats and the baseball caps and all these fun things, but it's crazy. We talk about colors, you know. From the time Haley could talk, she liked pink. And pink was her favorite. And she would choose everything pink. That was just her, you know. But we learned that, and now I think she's passed that on to Charlie. She has taught Charlie pink, we like pink. But it's kind of funny, from the time we're little, we start to learn about clothes and styles and different things. And that's not bad, but it's just a natural thing that happens. And we talk about maybe what's comfortable to wear, or what items are essential to wear for girls. What do we have to wear to school? Or what do we have to wear to work? Do we have a uniform? What do we wear in the winter? That's a huge, huge thing here. My husband and I were talking about that the other day. In the winter here, you have, like, you know, super warm clothes, you know, big coats and thick coats and layers. And then you have maybe a little bit lighter jacket. And then you have to have a lightweight rain, something durable for the rain. It's just kind of funny, all these different things that you have to have for winter. And then so we talk about all these things, boots, coats, sweaters, layers, and lots of layers. And then spring comes, and for us, it just kind of pretends to come for right now. But then we get out our spring clothes, and there's lighter colors, and there's different things. Maybe there's sandals and flip-flops and different things, and on it goes. But from the time we're young, we learn about clothes, and you know, at the stores, you know, there's all these signs for cute things, and we learn about styles. But it's funny, because really, the Bible doesn't say very much on the subject. It just says a very little bit. But what it does say on the subject is important. It talks about, first, celebrating the difference. The Bible's primary instruction about our clothes refers to the differences between men and women. In Deuteronomy 22, verse 5, it says, "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God." And I've heard that verse my whole life, you know, since I was a Christian. I've heard it used many, many different ways. You know, I've heard it used saying women should not wear pants and should never do these things. And that's not what this verse means at all. Because in Bible times, you know, the men wore, I'll call it a dress. I don't know what it was called, but they didn't wear pants. And so that's not what this verse is talking about. It's talking about appropriateness. You know, what is appropriate for a man is different for a lady. And so that's what this verse is talking about. It's not about whether, you know, you can wear jeans or you can wear pants. It doesn't give us a list of do's and don'ts. So the Bible, wouldn't it be easy if the Bible just said, you know, wear this, wear that, and, you know, it had this list, but it doesn't. The Bible wants us to use appropriateness and discernment in our lives and in our families for whatever the Holy Spirit is telling you in your heart that is appropriate. Now, obviously, there's things that we probably all would say, oh yeah, that's kind of immodest. You know, that's like really, you know, inappropriate. And we all know what inappropriate is, I think. So we don't have to have a list of do's or don'ts. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's about a principle, and God places value on our differences. Hollywood doesn't help us. They don't value women, do they? Hollywood doesn't value women. The Bible and God values women and cherishes us. From early on, the world tells us, Hollywood tells us, you know, to make our decisions on what to wear by deciding who we want to impress and how we want to look, how we want to be. Should I dress for power? It talks about dressing for sophistication. For men, should I dress for men? Should I dress for women? Should I dress for seduction? And the Hollywood tells us all these things and all these different ways that we should dress, or that we should choose, how we should choose our wardrobe. The Bible's answer isn't any of these things. A Christian woman should dress to please God, and simply to please God. As we let Christ change our hearts, we hear his voice above everything else. And as our hearts are changed, we can cherish being a woman. So it's not what you can and can't wear. It's what does God want you to wear? What does he want you to look like as a Christian lady? So first, I know, dress with modesty. He wants us to dress with modesty. In 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 and 10, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, and that doesn't mean that you can't wear jewelry, but that which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Dress with strength and dignity. That's what the Bible teaches us. In Proverbs 31:15, she's clothed with strength and dignity, and that's very different than power dressing, you know, to dress to impress or dress, you know, to be sexy or dress for this or dress for that. The Bible says to dress with strength and dignity. Power dressing or dressing to impress, the book talks about this. It's dressing with the intent of maybe intimidating someone or making some sort of impression. And I understand, you know, when you're in a workplace, you need to dress nice and, you know, and look the part, and, you know, but we shouldn't want to intimidate people or impress people in a wrong way. Instead, the Christian women should dress with strength and dignity, and that is reflecting our created position and rank as daughters of God. If we're Christians, we are daughters of God, and we want to portray that in our dress. So we are God's image bearers. That's where our dignity comes from. And I think that's very special that God gives us that. First, God made us in his image, and then he bought us through Jesus, and that made us children of God and joint heirs with him, and that's a position of highest rank and honor. And so the woman who's clothed with strength and dignity will carry herself worthy to be honored for that position. She knows who she is, and she knows who she belongs to. She knows that God loves her, and so she should carry herself with that assurance that she is a daughter of God. And not to impress anyone, but to honor her Savior. And that's who we should ultimately dress for. And if you're married, you know, you obviously, you know, want to dress to please your husband. You know, he has a say in what you wear, and you guys decide that together or whatever for your family. But we should dress to honor the Lord, bottom line. Peter shows us the way to a better kind of beauty than what our fashion magazines promise us. In 1 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4, it says, "Who's adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on the apparel." Again, it's not talking about hair, not doing our hair. When I was little, I pictured that verse. Man, we can't curl our hair, we can't wear makeup, we can't wear jewelry, and that's not true. "But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." Our beauty comes from within. It's not outward appearance, it comes from within. A gentle and quiet spirit, and that is very worthy in God's sight. That's what he wants us to have, a gentle and a quiet spirit. And this beauty is deeply rooted in faith and our trust in God. No matter how hard we try, we can't manufacture or buy inner beauty, can we? It's not something that we could just go, you know, pick it up at the store, you know, and put on inner beauty. That comes from a relationship with the Lord, doesn't it? Yes. Inner beauty isn't something that we can just manufacture or anything like that. It comes from God giving it to us and us letting God work in us. So this, it's actually priceless. It's a beauty that's priceless. It's your inner beauty is much more valuable than outer beauty. You know, all these commercials that we have about outer beauty and, you know, makeup and all of that. And I love makeup and getting, you know, fixed up and all of that. But that's what, you know, Hollywood and everything tells us to focus on, is all on the external. But God wants us to focus on the internal. It's a beauty that grows in our hearts as we surrender our will and respond to God's will for our lives. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, it talks about how outwardly we are wasting away. You know, I mean, every day we're all getting older and, you know, it just happens. But inward, we're being renewed day by day. So that's kind of neat. Even, you know, when we have aches and pains and we get sick, you know, and all of that. We could be sick and look horrible, but inward, God can still be renewing us. Each day, he could still be renewing us. No matter how bad we look on the outside, he can be renewing our hearts every day, each day. Let me turn my page. All right, I'm stuck together here. I'll say propriety. The Bible compares the application of God's word to the act of dressing. So this is kind of, I'm going to read some verses and just kind of picture as you're getting ready in the morning, are you doing these things inwardly and spiritually? So just picture that. Ephesians 4:24 says, "And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Verses 6:11 of Ephesians, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Colossians 3:10 says, "And having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." Romans 13:12 says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." And that verse is talking about, you know, God can help us through, and we need to cast off, you know, the thoughts of the devil and let the Lord help us and give us a right thought and a right spirit about our appearance and about our hearts. Colossians 3:12-14 says, "Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering." As you're getting ready in the morning, you know, sometimes we're so quick, you know, we're doing our makeup and our hair and trying to get ready quickly. But I know this is convicting to me. Am I stopping to think about, am I putting on what God wants me to put on the inside? All meekness, humbleness, gentleness, and kindness, patience. He wants us to put on all these things inwardly, care about that more than we do the outward. Verse 13 says, "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." So put on forgiveness. That's something, that's not always easy, is it? If we're hurt, if someone hurts us or hurts or says something unkind or hurts our feelings or whatever, it's not always easy to forgive, is it? But we need to put that on in our spirit. "Above all these things, put on charity," which is love, "which is the bond of perfectness." And then in Isaiah 52:1, it says, "Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments." So God can give us strength. When we don't think that we have strength to go through the day, and maybe we're struggling or we're having a huge trial, or who knows, maybe you've lost your job, or your husband's lost his job, or different things. God can give us that strength that we need to go through that day and to get through that day. And only he can give us that strength. And we probably all experience that. I know I've experienced trying to do it on my own and my own strength, and it never works, does it? I never have enough strength to help myself. But when I stop and ask God for help, he always helps us. In 1 Peter 5:5, it says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud." God doesn't like it when we're prideful and when we're proud and, you know, when we think we're something. God resists that. But he giveth grace to the humble. So inside, in our inward heart, God wants us to put on humbleness. In Romans 13:14, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Ask the Lord to help you resist things that you need to resist, the temptation that you need to resist. He will do that. He will help you. In 1 Timothy 2:9-10, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety." I've read this verse a few times. "Not with broided hair, gold or pearls, costly array, but that which becometh women professing godliness with good works." So all these things that we do, the makeup and the hair and the jewelry, that's all okay and great and fine, but we also need to make sure that we are putting on our inward things that are going to help us too. Inward, we need godliness, don't we? And we need to put on good works and humbleness and meekness and all these things just as much as we need to concentrate on the outward. So the propriety of our appearance is more than just about what we look like on the outside, and that is important. I think we need to be discerning in what we wear, and ask the Lord, what is appropriate? What should I wear and what shouldn't I wear? And ask the Lord that question, and dress to please him. And then, but also concentrate on the inside, on the inward, because that is more important than our outward. Then next, we're going to talk about the propriety of our words. This is about the things that we say. Proverbs 12, verses 17 and 18 says, "He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." True and restrained words are always wise words. You know, sometimes we don't need to be so quick to speak, but words that we just throw around and we don't think about it, or we don't filter our words, it can cut like a sword to whoever we're saying them to. And we have to be careful about that. You know, our words are, you know, words can be very uplifting or very hurtful. You know, they can do both. And so we have to be careful of that. Truth in our words brings healing. Proverbs 16, verse 24 says, "Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones." I think that's a sweet verse. Our words can be helpful to somebody. It can help heal a heart, a hurting heart. Our words can help someone that's hurting, and we can help to heal that heart, but our words also just as quickly, you know, when we just speak without thinking or without restraint, they can also be very, very hurtful. But that verse, words, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. I like that verse. A godly woman's words should be sweet to the person that she's talking to. Our words can also be destructive. In James 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, "Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth." And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. "So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell." Our tongue has great power, doesn't it? Just a little unkind word can be so hurtful and can maybe cause someone to go on a different path just by what we say. We can all probably raise our hands. I remember coming into, I think I was on a volleyball team, which I was terrible at volleyball. It wasn't a team, it was gym class. And a girl who was in 11th grade, I'm a little tiny 7th grader who is not coordinated to do volleyball, and I'm still not. Kathy, I needed you to train me. And I remember her, she was so mean to me about how terrible I was and, you know, what a little loser I was. And she said the meanest, most unkind things to me, and I was terrified as a junior higher of her. Just, I was so terrified, and her words were so hurtful. And I just remember being so scared. And I remember thinking, I want to be kind. When I get up there, you know, 11th, 12th grade, I want to be kind to the junior hires, because it hurts when people are unkind, and it makes you so uncomfortable and so self-conscious as, you know, as a young girl. And I remember that feeling of being so hurt by words. And I remember wanting to be kind to the younger ones, just to help them and to, because I know how bad and how much, you know, whether the words are true or not, which they were, I wasn't good at volleyball, but she said lots of other things that weren't true. But it still makes you feel awful, doesn't it? Words are just, they can be so, so hurtful. So our tongue has great power. And the Bible talks about these things being harmful to our Christian life and our hearts. And we're going to get through these quickly. Gossip. And I don't need to spend a lot of time on that, but you know, the Bible doesn't, they talks about us not being gossipers. And, you know, I know, you know, we've all, you know, done it. We've all gossiped, but you know what? Gossip is so hurtful, isn't it? You know, when we're talking behind someone's back, it is so unkind and hurtful. And I've watched it turn people away from church and different things. And so we have to be so careful as ladies not to gossip or listen to gossip. And next, it talks about flattery. So here's the definition. Gossip is saying something behind someone's back that you would never say to their face. So gossip is usually something that really isn't very kind. And, you know, I would maybe say something behind Laura's back, very unkind, that I wouldn't say to her face, because that's what gossip is. But flattery is different. It's saying something to someone's face that you would never say behind their back, because you really don't believe it's true. So flattery can be just as bad when it's not, you know, when we're not being sincere. You know, when we're just saying something to somebody just to talk and to, I don't know, make them feel good, or say things that we're just making up and that we really don't even mean, and we're just trying to flatter them, and that can be just as hurtful. And really, a lot of times, maybe flattery is used for impure motives. You know, maybe we're, you know, flattering someone, hoping in return we'll get something from them, or that, you know, they will help us with something. And so we have to be very, very careful, you know, not to gossip, not to use flattery just to say things, just to for our impure motives. Next, we need to be careful about criticism. Sometimes in churches, it's easy for us as ladies to be critical of others. You know, I think ladies maybe sometimes have a harder time with this than men. And when we're critical of others, you know, maybe, look what she's wearing, or look, you know, how she is today, and look at that. And we're being critical. But by us being critical, then it kind of lifts ourselves up and makes us prideful. So we have to be careful, because then when we're being critical of someone else and we're ultimately lifting, it's usually to make ourselves feel better about ourselves. But then we are becoming righteous, self-righteous, and then we become judgy. And that's not what the Bible wants us to do either. That's not what God wants. That's not what we should have in our heart. So criticism, we have to be very careful about that. Next, it talks about diminishment. And in James 4:11, it says, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge." And this verse means not to speak down to each other. You know, we've all probably had someone, you know, kind of talk down to you. We all had that? And you can feel it, you know, as that person that you're being talked down to. I know there's times where I, you know, maybe talked down to my kids or to someone, and it's wrong. It's not a godly trait that we should have. Sometimes we think it's okay, maybe to talk about things because it's true. You know, there are things that are true, but it doesn't always mean that we should talk about them. God still doesn't want us just to sit around and talk about something just because it's true. That's not helpful to that person, or not helpful to our spiritual growth either. Sometimes there's just a time for us to just sit and listen and be quiet and just stop talking. Have you ever been with someone and sometimes all they need to do is talk to us, and maybe they're going through a trial, and before I am quick to judge or to have a solution or to say, well, if you would have done it this way, or if you would have done this, or if you would have done that, you know, then you wouldn't have this problem. But sometimes people don't need a solution. They just need you to listen and to sympathize and to pray for them. And that is a trait of a godly woman, is when you just kind of stop and are quiet and you listen to people. Proverbs 15:28 says, "The heart of the righteous steadieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things." I don't want to pour out evil things. I want God to work in my life, and I don't want to be saying things that I shouldn't say. I want to do and say what God wants me to say. Jesus gives us a warning in Matthew 12:33-37. It talks about trees. I'm going to kind of paraphrase here. It talks about the trees that are good bear good fruit, and trees that are bad bear bad fruit. And trees are recognized by their fruit. So just stop and think. What kind of fruit do you, as a Christian lady, have? What kind of fruit do you have? Is it good? Is it bad? Is it more good than bad? Or is it more bad than good? What words do you say? And then that passage talks about how we are responsible for the words that we say. We need Christ's help to have discernment with what we say, don't we? I know sometimes I don't have, you know, sometimes someone will ask me something and I don't have the answer, and I'll pray, Lord, please help me to say what you want me to say and not just my opinion. We all need discernment. We need Christ's help in that. Psalms 19, verse 14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Next, we're going to talk, and lastly, the propriety of our attitude. The gospel humbles us, and it brings us to a place where we realize that we can't do this on our own. We can't do the Christian life on our own. And that will lead us to our knees and in prayer and asking God to help us. Pride is a root in us that we need to let God get rid of. Humility is a mark of godliness. We each struggle, and sometimes God maybe needs to help us. He needs to heal our hearts. When we allow the Word of God to work in us, sometimes it can hurt. Sometimes we see things about ourselves that need to be changed, and maybe we don't like that, and maybe that change is going to hurt a little bit or stretch us a little bit. But ask the Lord to show you, you know, what do I need to change in my life? And only Christ can do that. I can't fix myself and all of my problems. I have to ask the Lord to help me and to grow me and to stretch me and to do that work in me, because I can't do it on my own. So living a life of appropriateness and propriety just means acting in a way that is worthy of the gospel in our dress, our words, and our attitude. So as you think about and look at your own heart, and our heart is where it all begins and where it all starts, think about what has the Holy Spirit already done in your heart. What has He already grown you and taught you and stretched you through? What has He already done in your life? Stop and think about that. And then think about what areas do you need to grow in? We all can grow in a lot of areas. And stop and think about that. And then ask the Lord to help you with that specific thing that you're thinking about. Here's just some questions to think about. Does what you wear reflect modesty and the Lord? Does it reflect the Lord? Do you look like a Christian? Do you reflect Christ's love? How about your with your new life in Christ, when we're a new creature, do you reflect that as a Christian lady? And then think about this. What parts of the spiritual dress, those things, the inward things, do you need to add? Each day, what are the things that you need to put on each day? So compassion, kindness, humility, patience, gentleness, forgiveness, love. What are the things that you need to put on inwardly? So think about that. And then what do your words and conversations reflect? Stop and think about what are most of the things that I say and the things that I talk about, what does that reflect? What does that tell about me? Do you have restraint, wisdom, truth in your words? Or are you quick to judge and maybe say the first thing that comes to your mind? And if you are, you know, we all have been there and we all do that. And that's when we just need to ask the Lord, okay, Lord, help me to restrain my words and restrain my thoughts and restrain my heart. Help me change my heart, Lord, so that I am quick to listen and not so quick to speak. And it's only when we spend time with God and when we draw close to Him that we can really begin to see our true heart and see what He wants us to change. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank You for today, Lord. And I pray that You just will show us each what You want to do in our hearts, Lord, and what You want to grow and change in us. And thank You for Your work in each of us, Lord, and for loving us and guiding us. And I pray that we will stop and think about what is appropriate for us, Lord, and help us to put on the things inwardly and spend time inward as much as we do on the outward. And thank You for loving us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.